So baptism, we believe as a church, we have our I mean, obviously we believe in the Bible, as most churches do, hopefully. But there's different ways to interpret the scriptures. And so the way that we interpret it is that we believe that baptism is should be appropriately administered to those who give a believable profession of faith. This is why we don't do infant baptism here at SP, because obviously they can't give a believable profession of faith. We see this to be one of the standards throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. But also it deals with the significance of the event. And so if you want to turn to Romans chapter 6, we're going to read verse 3 to 4. Romans chapter 6, 3 to 4. And Paul lays out a really, really clear description of exactly what's happening here. And this is significant. Romans chapter 6, let's read verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus, have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For we have become united with him in his likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. This is what this means. And so this idea is of baptism is symbolic. It's this symbolism of union with Christ, but in different parts. It's union with Christ in his death, in his burial, and then in his resurrection. And it seems to be that the mode by which the biblical authors have used is baptism by immersion. Now, the picture of baptism that we see here is one going down into the water as to a grave, and then being buried, and then coming out of the water really is this picture of being raised with Christ to walk in newness of life. And more than that, it's actually symbolic of one's death to their old way of living and then rising to a new life in Christ. And so it displays actually so many incredible pictures of our life in the Lord. But basically, it's their outward sign of beginning the Christian life. Another way of saying is it's the outward sign of an inward regeneration. And if you don't know what that means, all it means is it's an outward expression of something that's happening deeply within us on the inside. You know, one very important thing to note, and I think this is where some of there's differences in opinion, but if you would consider yourself to be an Orthodox Bible-believing Christian, then you would believe in this way. Quite simply is we don't get baptized to be saved. You know, over the years, I've had to correct people on this, and they feel like, oh, if I just do this one act, then I'll become a Christian. No, it doesn't work like that. We are saved by grace, through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you've been saved, through faith. It is not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man should boast. And so we are, each one of us, saved by grace. But even though we don't get baptized to be saved, you know, one of the things we say a lot in our church is we get baptized because we are saved. It's a totally difference. You know, we come to church today, you know, you don't have to come to church. I mean, it's a good thing to do, right? Like, we don't come to church to be saved. We come to church because we are saved. You don't have to give today. You don't have to give to be saved, but we give because we are saved. It's not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. And so in following in obedience, we get to be baptized. We get to come to church. We get to worship the Lord. We get to give. We have privilege to do all of these things unto the Lord as really a response to what Christ has done for us. And that's what we're talking about. At SP, we value community, and we believe that even though, and here's a distinction, even though this is a personal decision, we don't believe it's an individual decision. It's personal, and every single one of us must have a personal relationship with God, which is really important, but like most things in the Bible, it's actually done in community. And so baptism is also one of these things. It's a personal decision, but it's done in community. And so each sister today is going to come up. They're going to share their testimony. In other words, the real question that you ought to be asking yourself throughout the testimony is, does this person have a believable profession of faith? And you're not being judged, okay? And so I'll make that clear. But we're asking the question, well, does this person have a believable profession of faith? Because that's the only people that we baptize. And then if you believe so, after their testimony, I'm going to come back up and I'm going to ask you, do you receive so-and-so as your sister in Christ? And you'll respond, yes. Or you can say no. If you say, no, I don't believe that's a believable profession of faith. But don't worry, we've been doing this for 15 years and that's never happened here. Obviously, we vet it before we get to this stage. And so it's a really important part. But part of it is when you say yes, you're not just saying yes to this moment right now. You're saying, yes, I'm going to walk with this person. Yes, at some point of their journey, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to encourage them. Maybe they're part of your house church, and I'm going to be a good house church member to them, and so on and so forth. And so the affirmative is not just, okay, yeah, sure, whatever, yeah, sounds good at this moment, but it's actually a commitment that you're making to this person for their life as a follower of Christ. And so, so take this to heart. Obviously, as a church, we value prayer, and so we want to soak them with prayer. Just think of it this way, if you want a word image, we're going to soak them in water, okay? And so, but before they even get into the water, we want to soak them with our prayers. And we want to ask the Lord to fill them up, and this is where you come up to the front. You can come up and lay hands and pray for them. Yeah, I give you time. We're only doing two people today, right? So we got a lot of time to pray. That's why I'm actually taking an extra long to teach this part here. And then I have a little mini sermon at the end as well, okay? But it's really, really mini. Don't worry, really mini. Which is going to lead to our time of prayer. But soak them in their prayers before they get in. And feel free, if God's giving you a prophetic word, to share that with them, a word of encouragement or whatever God is putting inside of you. And we want to send them in and then receive them out in that way with prayer. And so, the sending is in these two towels over here, and the receiving is in the other two towels. And Rachel will help you go through that in this time. Okay? Amen?
I'm very new to Solomon's Porch, so most of you don't know me. Thanks for my friend's husband, friends coming here. I've been attending Christian schools and Catholic schools and Lutheran schools all my life. So I've always believed in God. There's no other God in my life except God. But I wasn't really connected to him in any way. When asked to describe me as a person, most people have or would use these following adjectives. Confident, outgoing, friendly, social butterfly, hardworking, responsible, big-hearted, and happy. Well, I'll tell you how I would describe myself. Broken, neglected, hungry for love, lost, fragile. My college nickname was Tofu, so go figure. I start crying really early. Last but not least, clinically diagnosed with major depressive disorder. I know I don't look it, but my tears never stop flowing, even till today. I tear when reading novels. I tear when I hear touching songs. I tear at weddings. I cry at funerals. I cry at movies. I cried watching Frozen. I cried when Roger Federer won Australian Open. I cried last week at baptism class. I'm a water faucet, so bear with me. So what do I have to cry about or be depressed about, you're thinking? Would an emotionally and physically abusive mother be a justifiable reason? Would the feeling that the single one person that should love you the most turns out to be the one person that brings you the most pain be another valid reason? So, being an only child, I was born in a very typical Chinese family, yet in a not so traditional setting. They were a young couple, got the hots for each other, dated for a few mere months and finding out that they were expecting a child. So trying to behave responsibly, they decided to get married. But being responsible is not merely by getting married, but for a lifetime of commitment, like what I'm doing here today with God, to love their child and to be there for each other through thick and thin. So on this front, they probably weren't so responsible. For as far as I can remember, there were no weekends of family outings to parks or bedtime stories or kisses or I love yous. We didn't even travel together as a family until I graduated college and already started working. My mom, being pregnant at the age of 21, probably wasn't ready for the big role of motherhood. I know she loves me in her own way. She just didn't know how to express it, like all many Chinese families. I don't think she even knows how to express herself. If she asked me a question I didn't answer, she'd hit me. If I answered, she'll say I was talking back and hit me again. So there's no winning in my situation at all. I was obviously not talking about smacking the behind, but umbrellas, shoes, remote controls, anything she'd grab hold of, you can name it. It wasn't so bad when I was in primary school because my parents had to work and it was my beloved grandmother who took care of me and watched over me. She was my world. She played the role of my mother, my support, much, much more than my own mother did. Things took a downward turn when my whole family moved to California when I was 10, without my grandmother, and my mom being a stay-at-home mom. So what should have been the best years of my life living in gorgeous California turned out probably to be the saddest 4 years of my life, and pretty much shaped how my character is for the next many decades. So my first experience of an act of God was when I was just about 11. As usual, my mother came to pick me up from school. She noticed I had a glossy pink tint on my lips and asked where did I get my lip gloss. My friend gave it to me, and she asked me to return it. I walked over and pretended to give it back to my friend. When I went home, she searched me. She found it inside my pocket. And she started hitting me and saying things to 11-year-olds such as, I'm going to say Chinese in this case because I can't think of a good English word for it. Fat hao, fat dan. That's what she said to 11-year-old. Basically means flirty. Or, you know, flirty. So in order to make sure I don't behave like that, and again, she went into the kitchen, grabbed a pair of scissors, grabbed my hair in a ponytail like this, and chopped them off my hair so that I would look ugly and be punished for my vanity from a lip gloss. I really didn't understand. I was in a lot of pain, not from the physical pain, from the abuse. That stuff no longer hurts me. But a very broken heart from how a mother would do this to her only child. Pain hurt so much that I didn't want to deal with it, so I went to my room, I locked my door, and I put a belt around my throat. So I was spinning farewell in my mind to my dad, to my favorite pink jelly bean and my favorite chocolate bar, and suddenly an image flashed in my mind. My grandmother that was 3,000 miles away from me. My grandmother who would dodge bullets for me, even jumped in the way my mom used to hit me, so the fist would land on her body instead. So tears started rolling down my eyes as I was suddenly embraced with the really warm memories of her, how she loved me so, so much. I was the apple of her eyes. I've never thought I was the apple of anyone's eyes. And till today, I'm still the apple of her eyes. I slowly put down the belt and I thought to myself, I can't be selfish like this and the pain that I'm going through, but bring pain onto other people. I believe God wanted to remind me that there are people out there who love me and that He loves me. So, and that wasn't as helpless as I was. So this first little but insignificant encounter has placed God back in my life then. And throughout the following years, He has shown me in many ways that He was there for me, listening to my prayers and watching out over me, forgiving me and guiding me back to the right path, even when I've continued to sin and was lost in my ways. 2 years ago, I had another significant with God. My beloved grandmother, 91 years old back then, had a heart attack. Because of some complications, she arrived at the hospital a lot later than the ideal timing, and she had to be admitted for an emergency bypass. It was literally every second to the count. I was having barbecue at my friend's house. My mom called me. Naturally, I rushed over, although my mom couldn't tell me much except that my grandmother was in hospital.
At that moment, my hands shook, my heart was skipping beats left and right. The only thing I could do was burst into my tears and prayed. That's all I could do. I had no idea if she was being rescued. My mom couldn't tell me anything. I could tell my mom was also very afraid, and she didn't want to tell me. She didn't want to get me worried. So I prayed, God, please, anything. You can take my life. You can take 20 years off my life. Just let her be okay. So long story short, miracle number one came. My grandmother at 91 survived an emergency bypass for her heart attack caused by an artery that is 100% blocked. Another one at 97% blocked. She was in ICU for about 3 weeks. Another two months in the hospital due to pretty much contracting everything you could possibly get in a hospital. Pneumonia, MRSA, internal bleeding from all the heavy dosage of medicine and the drips. You name it. I quit my job. Visit her twice a day, rain or shine, T10. I was the only one that went. Every time she saw me, she had the look in her eyes that said to me, I was that little bit of light that was giving her strength to fight, to recover. However, it turns out the moment I left her bedside by the hospital, she was fighting a whole new war that I wasn't aware of, until the hospital neighbor across her bed told me stories of her behavior when going to leave the hospital. According to a neighbor, my grandmother would grab whatever she could reach by her bedside and throw it in one specific corner. And of course, there's nothing there. She would talk fiercely in a very determined voice. I'm not going with you. Go away. I'm not leaving with you. My grandmother will never let me leave with you. When I heard this, I knew my grandmother must have felt very, very scared and lonely when we weren't there. I was feeling very torn and helpless because I could only be there during visitation hours. I didn't know what else I could do except pray. Pray for God to protect this wonderful woman whom I love dearly, who have saved my life in so many ways you can imagine. I prayed for him to be with her, to be her lightning, to give her courage. I prayed for her to have courage and have faith. That's what I could do. But once again, God showed me his love for his followers, not just me, but the ones I love. The neighbor said once I did that, my grandmother stopped the talking and stopped the throwing. And a few weeks later, about a month later, she was released from the hospital. And 2 years later today, she's still with us, living with my grandmother, living in my old room, being spoiled, rotten by me. Now she's actually kind of annoying, I have to say. I have no one but God to thank for. For without him, my world would have collapsed. I wouldn't have survived this. Just like it would have when I first put a belt around my throat at the age of 10. I've always done everything on my own because I felt like I have no one to rely on except myself. I go to church on my own. I pray to God on my own. I did everything on my own. I masked everything behind this very happy, cheerful kind of self. But if you know the real me, which my husband knows, my girlfriend knows, I'm very tofu. So it turns out I'm not alone. God has been with me all along, showing me in various ways that he's there for me, never neglected me, even though I'm a sinner. So today I wish to use this chance to loudly proclaim I have decided my love for God, and I wish to follow him, worship him, and most importantly, thanking him for loving me and sacrificing himself for us. I have been wrong to say I'm not loved. I'm very loved by God. On the last note, I also wish to say, even though she's not here today, that I do love my mother and wouldn't want anyone else to be my mother. I cry, I hurt, I pain. It's because I care. So, okay, there have been moments where I really don't like her so much, but I still want her as my mom. Because this is also the reason why I'm so independent, capable, so strong-minded. As the saying goes, whatever or whoever in this case doesn't kill me, only makes me stronger. So thank you, Mom, for making me a very strong woman today, and my grandmother as well. I'm very thankful that we have patched things up and have come to understand each other through the difficult way. I believe this is God's reason for wanting us to learn and grow through this difficult but rewarding relationship, and I'm glad we have done it on our own, despite it being very difficult at times. I also want to thank Calvin here for reminding me to stop procrastinating. I've been saying I want to get baptized since my grandmother was in hospital 2 years ago, and 10,000 reasons, busy work, etc. So I heard you loud and clear. I should stop being lazy. Thank you, God, for loving me. I can't wait to experience a new beginning with, starting from today, worship you, grow my faith, and in my relationship with all of you fellow new brothers and sisters. Peace, Sam, peace, Nate. Thank you. Sorry for my long speech.
Okay, do you receive Justine as your sister in Christ?
Yes.
Amen. Good job. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Taya. I grew up in a Christian family. In fact, fourth generation of believers. I don't think I can pinpoint a specific time that I first encountered God. And this testimony may be a little different to that of others. I was actually baptized as a baby. As a grown-up, I just did what's called confirmation, as I come from a Presbyterian background. As my relationship with God strengthened over the years, I never really felt the need for a proper baptism that involved a full immersion into the water until very recently. I moved to Hong Kong and joined SP 6 years ago when I got a job here. Prior to that, I was living in Seoul. Actually, I used to be a secret admirer of SP. I used to follow PSAM sermons online back in Seoul. So when I got a job in Hong Kong, I was more excited about joining SP than my new job. My life back in Seoul was quite tough. I lived in the UK for more than 10 years, and moving to Seoul was quite hard. Adjusting to the Korean culture was challenging to me. And also at the time, my parents had just went through a divorce and a bankruptcy. So the brokenness and hardship led to depression and panic attacks. I was once hospitalized because my depression pills had side effects on me and kept getting suicidal thoughts. But I knew that God was still looking after me. My move to Hong Kong was a pure grace of God. It almost felt like He rescued me from a storm, placed me into a sanctuary where everything was so peaceful. Here at SP, through words, worship, house church, ministries, God healed me from my brokenness and made me whole again. It was really a new life. So why then? If I've been a Christian for the whole of my life, what made me to decide to get baptized now? As PSAM just shared, I'm engaged, and I'm quite a practical person. I wanted a fairly simple and practical wedding, nothing so extravagant. I didn't think wedding was such a big deal, and kept saying life after the wedding is more important, as Pastor Brian recently told us. But Kwang, my fiancé, who is sitting right here, he wanted something more meaningful, memorable, and intimate. And so I got persuaded to do a destination wedding. And as I was preparing for our wedding, I began to understand the importance of ceremonies, particularly because it is not just for husband and wife, but it is a place and time where we can celebrate with our loved ones. And as I was preparing for marriage, I couldn't resist myself but think about my union with Christ, myself as a bride of Christ. God has given me a new life. My old life with brokenness and hardship no longer rules over me. Kingdom of God is reigning and ruling here and now. And I realized I have yet to celebrate my unity with Christ, which was enabled by his death and resurrection. So here I am. I wanted to celebrate especially with you, SP, because this community has been very, very special to me. As some of you may know, I may be moving back to Seoul. I resisted at first, partly because of fear, because of my past experiences. I also just didn't want to leave my comfort zone here at SP. But I sensed God's calling and felt that God healed me for a reason. I wanted this baptism to be a signpost declaring that I will no longer live in fear, but will live experiencing his resurrection power. So I invite you, my Pelotons, to celebrate with me my union with Christ, because Jesus died for me and he rose again. Thank you.
Amen. It's wonderful. Do you receive Diane as your sister in Christ?
Well, if the theory of birth order and personality is really true, then as a kid, I believe I fit in quite well into the description of it. I was the firstborn, and I was reserved, self-absorbed, and independent. Often, I wouldn't settle for less, particularly, I wasn't particularly good with my peers. And then an incident happened when I was 8 years old, shaped the remainder of my formative years, and as an adult. We moved to Canada, and my dad was still based in Hong Kong. My mom was pregnant, so she obviously was overwhelmed. My sister and I were forced to be as independent as we can be. One day after school, I got home with the company of a family friend, Gary, and I opened the door to an empty home. My mom had moved out. I couldn't remember if she told me or not. I tried hard to stay calm while Gary scouted the whole house and confirmed that she has moved everything. I went to the kitchen and I opened the fridge and I took out a carton of milk to drink, like my usual days. Then I was thinking, what am I going to do now? Where did my mom go? And did she leave me behind because I wasn't a good girl? Well, Gary didn't help at all because he just kept repeating that my mom has abandoned me. So I was shattered and I was terrified. And what should I do? Drinking the milk was like a cover-up, and I just don't want to answer Gary, and I didn't know what to do, and I was about to burst in tears. Then suddenly, as I was putting the carton down, it felt like a ton of weight. An auntie came in, and she told me that my mom told her to pick me up, and that milk hit the kitchen like a rock, and I sighed the heaviest relief I ever did in my life. It sounds a bit extreme, but in short, afterwards, I kind of just developed the understanding that we're on our own, born alone, live alone, and die alone. Eventually, moved back to Hong Kong. I struggled blending in a little bit, but I disliked the school. But one day, when I was 13, a group of Christians came. They're from U.S. They played and sang the most beautiful songs ever. They preach, and I was swept away. I brought their music home and listened to it every night, and I prayed to it. And the title was Still Standing or Standing Strong, and the cover of the music, it's these tall trees, and they were so beautiful. And from my bedroom window, I could see all these trees too. It gave me peace. And I really liked that time of my life, but no one in my family was Christian then. So eventually I was pulled away from my faith and went as far as I can imagine. Along the way, I tried to go back, and perhaps I met Christians who weren't so grounded, and I had all these questions about the existence of God. But I was already an adamant skeptic. I know there is God, but where is he? And I would claim I believe in God, but not in a particular religion. During this journey, I actually encountered an enemy many, many times and had numerous attacks. But why have I not questioned the obvious? If there is bad, then there must be good. The turning point of my life was bringing my son, June, to SP 3 years ago. Despite my struggles spiritually, I know God is real. And bringing June to church was the 100% right thing to do. And every night I read the Bible to him, and he'll ask me the hardest questions. And through finding ways to answer him, I start to understand more about God. And he was a parent trying to teach us. Last summer, when I went to Alpha with SP, I encountered the Holy Spirit. I had a prayer in my mind, which Pastor Andrew said it word for word. I was so shocked. I closed my eyes and I waited. I expected someone would pray for me, but I was, to be honest, I was quite disappointed because no one did. But which was right, because I think God did it in a way so then I cannot argue about his existence like how I always did. The Holy Spirit laid on me so heavy, I felt the weight on my wrist and on my shoulders. And then tears start to fall, and the vision of Jesus on the cross appeared. He was bleeding. There was so much blood. I was shaking, and then I was on my knees drinking his blood from my hands. I once said that I'm not worthy to drink his blood, but he has forgiven me. And took me back to the next vision was when I was 13, standing under these tall trees, still standing strong. He reassured me that was the time when I encountered him. He reminded me it was then, and he never left. It's just me that I just went off track. And then I called my sister, and I told her that I'm sorry because she's prayed so much for me. That I know God is real. I've hardened my heart, but now I'm broken free. Anyway, I want to be baptized today because I am reborn. I only realize now how different I used to think. It's really a paradigm shift, like how PSAM once said. Before, I never quite understood the reason for church community. I do now, because fighting a lone battle is very hard, and you need those who are still standing strong to help you along. Therefore, I want to share my testimony with you all today, brothers and sisters, so I can receive your support and support you along the way. I like to finish with a verse, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Thank you.
Amen. So good. Amen. Do you receive Regine as your sister in Christ? Yes. Amen. Good job. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Alicia. I grew up in Christian schools, and yet there was always something that stopped me from taking a leap of faith and fully placing my trust in God. I thought I could sort out the difficulties in my life for myself, and life seemed fun even without God. I didn't understand why I wanted God in my life. Until last December, when I lost my grandmother, I realized I've come to the end of myself. The only one I can put my trust on was God. Only He can save her. The night she was first admitted to ICU, my mom, my sisters, and I held hands together in circle and prayed for her. We spent the night in the waiting area outside of ICU. What could have been a restless night filled with sorrows and worries was turned into a peaceful one instead. Our beloved grandma left us after spending 5 days in the ICU. It was devastating for us. A tiny voice in me questioned if God is so gracious, why he would let this happen. But a louder voice in me also assured me that God's will is greater than our will. He would take her to the eternal home where there is no more pain and suffering for her. I choose not to let my disappointment turn into disbelief when I decided to place my trust on him. Since I've been asking for prayers from my friend Novell, from my grandma, she invited me to SP in January. And just so happened our course is open for registration. I thought about it for a long time and finally registered at the last minute with the intentions to learn more about God. On the first class, I remember Novell said, in order to understand the Bible, we need to view it from a biblical perspective and not others. That set a tone for me for the rest of the course. Fast forward to one of the weekly topics that focus on prayers. I was prayed for by a group of people for the first time. I didn't know what to expect. As I sat in the center of a semicircle formed by people in my alpha group, everyone told me that God had given them a vision after praying for me. I thought it was very interesting that everyone got a vision, and I didn't know God's response was so quick and vivid. On a Monday after that weekend, I was recounting that to one of my Christian colleagues over lunch. Only then I began to realize the visions were told in a specific sequence that pieced together as a story and a promise. The sequence of visions reflected the places I had been before coming to Christ and the promise that God made when I placed my trust on Him. Our retreat weekend was another significant moment in my journey with Jesus. One of the things that really stood out to me on that day was a quote that said, "I believe in order to understand." That summarized my journey so far as to why I chose to keep my faith in God even when I didn't have solid understanding to the questions that I had. It also confirmed me that I need to root my faith deeper in God in order to understand. During retreat, I also got a prayer from Sally. At the end of the prayer, she told me that God knew I wanted to build a relationship with Him, and He has heard my prayers. God showed her a beautiful vision of a little girl dancing face to face with her father, except she was dancing on both of his feet, dancing wherever the father led her to. The father was our Heavenly Father, and the little girl was me. I was touched by the vision, but I didn't understand the significance of it until later. Near the end of our, when Sally asked what my story was, she was surprised at the transformation I had since the beginning of the course. That afternoon, I kept reflecting on what happened, piecing together bits and pieces, and prayed to God that He would help me to understand. With God's guidance, I was able to fast and pray, which led to more encounters with God, where He showed me the visions of His protection and guidance over my life. But I still felt that something seemed missing. God gently reminded me of a prayer that I had, but have forgotten. Right before the retreat, I prayed to God that He would tell me what the things He knows I have been through as a way of saying He was there all along with me even before I came to Christ. In my mind, I was expecting perhaps something that happened a few years back, so I completely missed it when I heard about the vision of a little girl dancing with her father. It wasn't just my Heavenly Father I danced with, it was also my dad too. My memory of that was so blurry, I had to confirm that with my dad. God was saying He was there for me when I was still a child and way before I had solid memory of my early life. He was saying He was there, not merely just a few years back, but way before I could imagine. From this day onwards, with this new life I'm given, this is my story to share as God unfolds the plans and blessing He has for me so I can bring glory to Him.
Amen. Do you receive Alicia as your sister in Christ? Yes. Amen. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Caitlin. Thank you all for being here today and sharing this experience with me. I'm going to do my best to condense over 15 years of my life with Christ into a five-minute speech that has led to my baptism today. My journey, both before and after Christ, has been like a graph that fluctuates up and down. I can't say that there was a pivotal moment in my life where I felt like I had come to Christ. A lot of us are guilty of only seeking God when we face struggles in life. And me, being quite an independent and in general happy person, could make many excuses to say that I don't need to seek God or have a relationship with Him. My life for the past 24 years has been very smooth sailing compared to many others. Of course, I went through the common problems of adolescence, friendship problems, but I was blessed to have an extremely loving household who have made my life very comfortable. However, I came to realize throughout my journey that no matter how great we all think our lives are, before and after the hurdles, without God we are nothing. I was born in a small town in the UK to a non-Christian household. My mum was the one who planted the seed for my relationship with God and decided to put me into a Christian primary school. For the past 7 years here, we would pray before food, before we were sent home, and sang hymns during school assembly. As I would pray with my teachers and receive their blessings, I still didn't feel like I knew who God was. I always knew God was there for me since the beginning, yet I felt there was something keeping me from knowing Him better. So this, you could say, was sort of my introduction to Christ, but I didn't feel the need to nurture this relationship with God. Therefore, for many years, it became stagnant. Growing up, I was extremely shy and quiet. I never raised my hand in school, and during parents' evening, every teacher would always say to my mum, "She's so well-behaved, but I wish she'd speak more." So similarly, if people didn't ask about my relationship with God, I wouldn't speak about it. In fact, I felt quite embarrassed and alienated from my peers, who at times showed mockery towards my beliefs if I ever did speak about it. So as a result, I very much dimmed the light of God that I had in me that was planted at primary school and blended into the background without acknowledging Christ again for most of my high school life. Not having a church community nor Christian friends also made it easy to become distracted and distant from my faith. I carried this distant relationship with God to university. They always say that university is supposed to be the best years of my life, is when you truly find yourself and make friends for life. For me, this wasn't the case. Whilst the people around me were partying all week, living their lives so fearlessly, I struggled to find people that I truly connected with. And whilst I was in a relationship for the first 2 years, for the remaining two, I felt so lonely, was more homesick than ever, and struggled with social anxiety, which meant that I spent a lot of my time cooped up in my room during the weekends and cancelling plans with friends last minute. It was during this time that I was able to build my relationship with God. Through my loneliest times, I felt that I could properly see Jesus. I truly felt comfort knowing that he was next to me when no one else was. He understood me when no one else did. He loved me for who I was. And most importantly, he was always there even when I didn't know it. So the flame inside of me that I dimmed those years ago was slowly coming out again. Upon graduation in 2017, I decided to move to Hong Kong. I packed my bags, moved here with no job, and said goodbye to my friends and family. With no idea of what the future had to hold, something in me just made me so confident to move here. And it's during the past year that my faith has strengthened. After almost a year of coming to SP, I decided to join this year's Alpha course. During the Alpha retreat, our group leader, Mike, wanted to pray for me. He told me that he got an image of a Rubik's Cube when he was praying. And he wanted to tell me that like a fixed Rubik's Cube, I am perfect in God's eyes. I am loved by him and I am good enough. For a lot of my life during high school and university and in Hong Kong for my first year, I always felt that I was striving for perfection within myself. I was never pretty enough, skinny enough, not confident enough like the other girls around me. And in a metropolitan city like Hong Kong, it's so easy to get lost in the blur. That moment there with Mike made me see things from a whole other perspective. I was so moved by it, so disbelieved that God knew me better than anyone else and understood my heart. And just like my university days when I thought I was walking alone, he was there all along, holding my hand. I remember P. Sam said during service in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Through the times when I turned my face away from God or was passive to know him better, he never left and has kept the door open for me from the beginning. I now look back and know that it was God's plan all along for me to move to Hong Kong. From hiding my faith and love for God inside of me in the past, I never would have thought that I'd be speaking so openly about him in front of so many people halfway across the world. Not only has he given me a Christian family, a best friend and sister in Christ, Sylvia, who I am blessed to have with me during my baptism today, much of where I am today is because of God's grace. I am humbled and overwhelmed by his love and so grateful that he has been patient with me. And no matter how far we all stray from him, it's true that he will always have that door open. As I was flicking through the Bible when writing my testimony, this verse from Romans stood out to me so clearly. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am so thankful and amazed by God's work, and I am ready to walk with Christ for the rest of my life and forever.
Amen. Do you receive Caitlin as your sister in Christ? Amen. Good job.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, friends and family, for coming to my baptism today. My name is Esther, and as many of you guys might already know, I am a pastor's kid and a fourth-generation Christian. So you're probably shocked that I am here today and I haven't been baptized yet. I've been going to church my whole life, and I honestly don't remember life before Christ. But I do remember my conversion story. When I was 8 years old, I lost a little red floral handbag. It was my favorite handbag at the time, and it had $50 inside, and back then that was a lot of pocket money. Before my mom and I went searching for the bag, my mom said, "Pray for a miracle." And at the end, I found the bag with the money inside, and I accepted Christ during an altar call later that year. Since then, I've gone through ups and downs with God. But instead of telling you guys my whole life story, I will, as P. Bryan suggested at a recent retreat, share highlights, focusing on God's faithfulness during the most recent trial of my life. If any of you guys in the room feel like you're stuck in life and God has forsaken you, I hope that my testimony can encourage you today. Even though I grew up in a relatively healthy Christian home, life wasn't always smooth and easy. When I was in college, I was in an abusive relationship. The next 7 years of my life took a darker turn. My mind became my own worst enemy. I was drowning in anxiety, tormented by panic attacks, traumatic flashbacks, covered with shame. The last 5 years of this 7 year period, which also has been my time at SP, were particularly challenging. So thank you, friends and family, for being there for me. I struggled in multiple areas in life, relationships, career, health, and so on. Part of it was my own fault, and part of it was really out of my control. I felt like everything was stripped away and extremely lost. While I felt lost, I wasn't actually lost. God was actually with me the entire time. Earlier this year, I cried out to God because I felt like I've been hitting a wall for so many years. He spoke to me through Psalm 51 and broke down the chapter into four sections: confession, cleansing, creating, and calling. Then he said to me, "These are the last 4 years of your life." In 2016, I confessed and repented from a lot of my sins. In 2017, he cleansed and purified me, purged out of a lot of unhealthy behavioral patterns and relationships in my life. In 2018, he created in me a new heart and completed the healing process for this season. I no longer get panic attacks, and my mind has been renewed in many ways. In 2019, I will be stepping into my calling in a deeper way and go back to school. God has been working and walking with me this entire time. I am getting baptized today as an act of obedience to publicly declare my faith. I was actually baptized as a baby. I'm from a Presbyterian church as well. And since baptism isn't necessary for salvation, I kind of procrastinated and didn't think I had to do it again because I didn't like public speaking. But I realized earlier this year that Jesus was baptized as an adult. Before he started his public ministry and performed any recorded miracles and healed anyone. If the Son of God, who never sinned, had to be baptized, I definitely do. Plus, I will be stepping into my calling in neuropsychology, which is my ministry in many ways, and it includes healing. Some of you guys know that my journey to graduate school has not been the easiest. I've been waiting to go back to school for half a decade. The truth is, God has been waiting for me. He loved me too much to let me go before I had a stronger foundation. His refining fire was painful, yet healing and necessary. He had to remove all that can be shaken so that what cannot be shaken may remain. I will most likely go back to school this year, finally. Hopefully there are no more complications. And God is faithful. At the end, he not only provided one of the best schools in my field, but also the finances for tuition fee. He restored my mind, and he will use me to heal many other people's minds. He did immeasurably more than I could have ever asked for and imagined. Thank you for listening.
Amen. For someone who doesn't like public speaking, she did pretty good, huh? Amen. Do you receive Esther as your sister in Christ?
Yeah. Good job. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Hi, SP. My name is Leslie, and I've been coming to SP since 2015. Before I actually start my written testimony, I actually wanted to share something that happened last night. It's very short. I had a dream. When I was sleeping, I saw seven little small rats, actually, like seven small rats next to me in bed, and they were running around in circles. And I didn't understand. But then after P-Sam told me that there were seven sisters getting baptized today, because I thought there were going to be eight. So I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it means a lot, and I feel like it's I'm not alone, and I have sisters around me. As a brief background, my family is not Christian, and they have been practicing ancestry worship, actually. But during my childhood days, I had simply no understanding of religion whatsoever, be it Christianity or ancestry worship. When I was around six, I remember my mom bringing me to church a few times when her friends invited her along. The memories I had were playing in the children's room, watching puppet shows, and listening to sermons. But honestly speaking, I felt rather bored during the sermons because I didn't understand what the pastor was talking about. It was really up until high school when I believed that there was something greater in the world, but I didn't relate this to God back then. One of my best friends, Liz, would invite me to her family church back then, and I probably went only once or at most twice. But again, because I didn't understand what the pastor was saying, this time was because she was attending a Chinese church, and I wasn't able to relate given my poor level of Chinese. Thinking back, I feel like I had a very open heart to go to church. I would say yes to another best friend of mine, Fiona, during university, and I also visited other churches in Hong Kong after graduation. Although I was open to going, I never had the heart to go again unless I was invited. I was very, very passive. What really made me question about Christianity, though, was a conversation I had with Liz. She once said to me that one day when she dies, she will end up in heaven, and as I was a non-believer, we would eventually not be together in heaven. When she said that, I was so heavy-hearted, and I wanted to understand why. I was doing good things in my life. I didn't understand why I couldn't go to heaven with her, too. It was around the same time when Fiona invited me to join Alpha at SP in 2015, and I said yes straight away. I'm very, very thankful to have these two best friends of mine. If it weren't for them, I would not have met Christ. It was at SP where I started to learn more about God. It was at my first retreat 3 years ago where I believe I first felt God's presence. It was 2 years ago when I felt like God was giving me signs to stay in my career even when I didn't want to. I work at a bank as a relationship manager now. 2 years ago, I moved from a support role into a sales role at a new bank. I was not happy, and I was struggling every day at work. I prayed about work and asked for a new opportunity elsewhere. After working there for 3 months, I decided it was time for me to find a new job, and any job. The jobs came naturally, and I didn't find them, and I landed a new opportunity working at a back office job. And I signed the contract back then, thinking the worst days were over. Although the new job was not what I wanted, it was a relief for me that I was finally leaving my current post. I told myself that I was never going to be a relationship manager ever again. During the same time, I was reached out by a manager at another bank, asking me if I was interested in working as a relationship manager under him. My first reaction was, no way. Like, why would I go back into being a relationship manager if I hated it so much? Long story short, I turned down the offer at least 3 times, and he still came back insisting me to join his team. I asked myself, how often do you ask again and again whether you want to take up an offer? Normally, you lose the offer once you turn it down. At the end, I eventually took up the sales role and gave it a second try. I believe this was God's voice. He spoke to me through this manager, telling me I should stay in my career path. I believe that God is watching over me and guiding me in the right paths in my life as he knows what's best for me. When people around me asked if I wanted to get baptized last year, I wanted God to give me signs, telling me I should get baptized. But I realized over time that it's actually my own declaration and commitment to Christ. God has been watching over me and has given me strength to stand here today, which I didn't have last year, and I feel the peace in my heart to commit to Christ. Thank you.
Good job, huh? Amen. Do you receive Leslie as your sister in Christ? Amen. Good job. Go ahead.